are continuing our series in Philippians, and we're nearly finished. We got there. Today I'm just going to focus on a few of the verses in there. And as I have just recently, I did sort of like a long canoe race with Lauren, which was quite fun, and then hanging around at the rugby football club, I've been more aware of fitness than I have been for a long time. And I've been aware about the importance of staying physically fit. And I'm aware that actually fitness takes some time to happen. And you need to know that underneath this sort of like vaguely Teletubby type physique, okay, underneath there is a lithe sporting monster, okay? It's quite well padded and it's got a little bit of sort of like, I've got some buoyancy added to me as well. But you just need to know that physical fitness is quite important, that actually, but not only just for sport, but also just for healthy living. And actually to stay physically fit is relatively important. And this passage that we're going to read in a minute from Philippians chapter 3 has this vague whiff of a sporting analogy to it, because it talks about setting goals and it talks about getting a prize. And there are other passages where Paul the apostle talks about running a race. So I'm going to continue that sort of like that vague sporting theme. And so this morning from Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 to the end of the chapter, we're going to look at seven ways that you and I can get spiritually fit. That is what our goal is for today. Seven ways that you and I can get spiritually fit. So shall we, let me turn to the passage. And let's read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to the end of the chapter. And I'm reading from the NASB version of the Bible. Okay, just to let you know, it starts in the middle of a conversation. Okay, you just need to know that. Okay, because you wouldn't really understand this. It says, but not that I've already obtained it. Okay, well, what is it? It says, not that I have already obtained it. You have to look in the verses before, and it says, Paul is saying, not that I have already obtained it, as in, not that I have already known Jesus Christ fully, not that I've already fully known the power of his resurrection, or not that I've fully suffered and become like him. He's saying, that's what I'm really going for, but then I'll carry on. It says this, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren and sistren, I don't really know if that's a word, but anyway, you need to be included. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching toward what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. For many walk, of whom I've often told you, and now even with weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has, even subject all things to himself. I want to give us this morning seven things that we can do to stay spiritually fit or to get spiritually fit. And the first thing is this. You just have to know that you are not perfect yet. And could you put your hands up if, like the Apostle Paul, that you know that you're not perfect, and if occasionally you come to church and just feel a little bit inadequate, because you look around and you feel everybody else just is a bit more holy and spiritual than me. They know all the songs, they know when to sing, they know the right place to say amen. I tried to say amen out loud one time and got it completely wrong, and people turned around and looked at me, and you just feel slightly as if everybody else is doing really, really well. And you're just here and you think, I just hope nobody really knows what I'm like. Now, if you feel like that, You are like the Apostle Paul. And well done. Did you know what? There are no finished articles in this church. We are not finished. And Paul says, I have not attained perfection yet. And there are no perfect people in this church. And if you think, well, I'm not perfect, but to be honest, I'm not doing bad. You know, I haven't quite got there yet, but actually I'm doing, you know, it's not so bad. Thank you very much. Thank you for asking. You better find a better church. Because this church here is for people that know that we're not perfect. That know that we're flawed and that we know that we are failed. And this is a church for people who know that they need a saviour. Because in our own right, we can't do it ourselves. We can't do it. And I think sometimes when we admit that we're not perfect, we haven't got it all right, we somehow admit our failings, we admit our weaknesses, it makes us more open, to be honest, for the Holy Spirit to come and work through us. That when we're open and vulnerable and weak, God loves to blow in through those people. He loves to fill those people with the Holy Spirit. So first way to get spiritually fit is this. Know that you're not perfect. The second way to get spiritually fit is this, is what Paul says next. I know that I'm not perfect, but I press on. I press on. There is this overwhelming sense that when you read these verses, that what Paul is saying is, look, I know I haven't reached this standard. I know I haven't reached perfection. I know I don't know Christ fully in all his fullness, but this, I am not going to stay where I am right now. I am desperate to know Christ more. I am desperate to experience the love of Christ more. I am desperate to walk in his power. And I was, a while ago, I mentioned to you that I was so challenged by this question. Is it true that the longer we have become a Christian, the more like Christ we become? And you know, the sad answer to that is, a lot of the time, no. And I think, if I have been a Christian a long time, I want to become more and more and more like Jesus. And I think all Paul is saying is this, no, I'm going to press, I am not going to be passive in my understanding of who God is. I'm not just going to sit back and see what happens. I'm going to press in to know more and more and more of God. And I think there is this process called sanctification that many of us will know and some of us won't know. But it's this process of becoming more like Jesus. And becoming more like Jesus takes time. It's not sudden, and it just takes time, and it's not automatic. But actually it takes something on our behalf. And there's this wonderful quote that many people know from a guy called Stephen Covey, who's written all sorts of books, and he said this about developing a godly character. And he said this, if you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. And if you sow a character, you reap a destiny. And what it's saying is that how you build godliness into your life is by sowing the right way of thinking. You sow the right way of thinking and you'll do the right sort of things. You do the right sort of things and you'll create habits in your life that are good. You create the right habits in your life, you'll create a godly character. If you have a godly character, you will fulfill God's destiny over your life. But it's bit by bit, isn't it? Bit by bit. But Paul is saying this, I will not stay where I am. I will press on. And there are some real, if you want to press on, if you want to get spiritually fit, there are some really basic things that you can do to press on. One, just read your Bible. Two, talk to God whenever you can. Three, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Four, never give up coming to church. Never give up meeting with Christians. And five, go to anything that you can that where you will be encouraged. Talk to as many people as you can where you'll be encouraged. Read as many books as you can where you will be encouraged. The other thing is to do this, just keep encouraging one another. You know, we want to press on, but keep encouraging one another. You know, lots of people talk about, this picture of when these geese fly. And they go, wah, 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 wah. Actually, no, technically that was a duck. But anyway, so I think But when geese fly, they fly in this formation. I'm sure lots of people have heard, but they fly in this formation because the goose at the front takes most of the buffeting and it takes all the wind. And then the geese sit behind and they sit in the air drag, and so it's easier for them. And so this goose at the front is going, he's flying ahead as far as he can. And then the goose, they sit behind in the slipstream, and the geese behind, they go, and they're just encouraging them on. Encouraging them on all the time. And then after a while, the geese swap around, and then they keep going. And different geese at different point will take a lead, and then they'll finally get where they are. But there is something about encouraging one another in faith. And I really want to take, if you can take any opportunity to speak words of encouragement and faith into somebody's life, do it. Any opportunity, just encourage somebody. Say something really good to them. Before you leave here, everyone will be saying, oh, you look very nice today. Black really suits you. No. It's very slimming. Somebody did tell me that, actually. But whatever you can, encourage one another. Encourage one another in faith. Encourage one another to press on. There's a guy that I know who I really love called Rick Warren, and he said this. He has a church of like tens of thousands out in the States, and he says, I only have two messages. If you're not a Christian, my message to you is this. God really, really loves you more than you think. And if you are a Christian, my only message to you is this. Keep pressing on. Just keep going. Keep pressing on in faith. The third thing, if you want to stay spiritually fit, is this. But you press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And in the New Living Translation, which is slightly easier version on this verse, it says this. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. So if you want to stay spiritually fit, you need to understand this, that at some point, Jesus got hold of you. For Paul, it was on the road to Damascus, and he was going down there, and bang, God got hold of him, turned his life around. For me, it was when I was a 15-year-old lad, and I went away on a Christian house party. And I saw some other lads that were a few steps ahead of me. And I thought, oh, that's what I need to, those are what I want to be like. And then there came this moment, bang, I gave my life to Christ. And I cried all the way down the steps. Because I finally gave in to God's call on my life. And do you know, we have, for the number of people that are in here who have given their lives to Jesus, we have different stories, don't we? But God got hold of you. At some point, God got hold of your life. If you're not a Christian this morning, did you know what? It could be even this morning that God gets hold of your life. You might have seen something. You think, that's it. I need to give my life to Jesus. But God got hold of you for a reason. And the reason that God got hold of you was this. So that you could get hold of God. So that you could get hold of him, so that you can go to work on Tuesday morning, because it's a bank holiday tomorrow, but you could go to work on Tuesday morning knowing that God loves you, so that you can wake up in the morning not racked with guilt from some of the things that you've done in the past, because God said, no, I've come to deal with those things. God said, no, you can wake up so you can confront the things, the areas and behaviors that you know that are wrong, that you really don't want to sort of like succumb to, but you don't have to succumb to them because you know actually God has given me power to overcome those things. He got hold of you so that you could get hold of Jesus, so that you could live like Jesus, full of hope. Jesus got hold of me so that I can die full of hope and confidence. That day will come. That day, and the day will come when I will sort of like, I will be breathing, and then one day, well, the next moment, I hope I don't, I won't be breathing. I will be gone. I will be dead. But Jesus got hold of me so that I can get hold of the fact that when I breathe my last breath, I am secure in my Father's arms. That's what God got hold of me for. For those things. And if we want to stay spiritually fit, according to these verses, we need to understand God got hold of you so that you can get hold of him. Fourth thing, if you want to stay spiritually fit, can you see those things? Yeah, okay. Fourth thing is this, focus on one thing. If you want to stay spiritually fit, it says this, verse 13, brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Now, the astute might just recognize in there that he says, okay, now just focus on one thing. And then he says, here's two things. Yeah, thanks a lot. It's a bit confusing. But what is it? Why does he say focus on one thing and then say forget the past and focus on the future? Well, the reality is that you can't really forget the past without focusing on the future. It's quite a hard thing to do. That actually we have to allow the past to be our past. Do you know, if your past is marked with success, the danger is that you may feel you don't need God. If your past is marked by failure, your danger is that you might feel God doesn't need you. The truth of it is, though, that whether it's successful or a failure, the truth is this, that God has chosen to need you and to want you. And actually, sometimes we can be really successful and we think, actually, I don't really need God. You can be a real failure and think God doesn't really need me. The truth is right there in the middle. Actually, God has chosen to want you and to need you. And sometimes we have to allow the hurts and the successes of the past to be in the past. And actually, we need to move on from those things. If there are things that have really shaped us, you do not have to be shaped by your past. You just need to understand that. Your past does not need to shape you, because God's promises are this, that I will make you a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. God has got great promises you. In Jeremiah 33, God's promise to you is this, I have promises to plans to bless you and to prosper you and not to harm you. And we need to allow our past to be our past. And I think there may be successes or failures in the past that you need to come and lay at the foot of the cross. There may be successes that have made you self-reliant and independent that you need to lay at the foot of the cross, because you think, actually, I've done that. I can do anything. I don't really need God. And there may be failures that cause you to think, I could never do anything again. And you need to lay them at the foot of the cross, because God's plans and promises for you are good and to cause you to prosper and to bless you. I think it's really interesting, even as a church. You know, sometimes we have to say, okay, we're going to forget the past and focus on the future. That's what we have to do, don't we? And you think sometimes we've had some extraordinary things, some things that have gone really well in the past, and we've loved them and we keep looking back on them. But if we keep looking back on them, we're not going to look forward to what God has got for us now. And all we can think, actually, there were some things that just went really badly wrong, so I'm never going to do anything again. And you think, actually, we have to allow those things to go, to focus on what God has got for us as the future. Somebody told me once that it takes 18 months to transform a culture of a church. And I think that we're probably about 6 months in to a process of transforming a culture of Trinity. And actually, I think we're doing really well. We're doing really well. God is shaping us and God is moving us, and it's exciting to see. Fifth thing. The fifth thing, if you want to stay spiritually fit, is this. Hold on to the progress that we have already obtained. And in the New Living Translation, it's this. Hold on to the progress that you have already made. Does anyone, was it in the, I'm not very good on game shows, okay. Was it in the, so Pete, obviously, I know that you obviously are really aficionado of game shows. Not. So was it in The Weakest Link where somebody suddenly had to shout bank? Yeah. It was. Okay, so they would ask all these questions. They'd all be competing with one another. And in the heat of the moment, they'd say, bank! Okay, and then all the money that they'd got so far, okay, that's good, that's safe. Keep it there. And they'd keep going again, and they'd be answering all these questions, and money would be accumulating, and they're trying to fight, bank! Okay, that's good. Put it all over there, and it's safe. And you know, sometimes in the heat of what we're doing and the heat of life, we have to go, bang! And think, oh, yeah, God's goodness. Yeah, thank you very much. You did this. You saved me. You gave me that. You provided that. Thank you very much. Okay, and then you come back and you fight and you'll get involved in life again and all the things that are going really bad in your battles and it's hard and you're really struggling and you think, bang! Okay, yeah, God was really good. He blessed me. You really helped me in there. You provided for me when I really needed help. But sometimes we just need to shout, bank. And what it says, okay, the biblical version of shouting, bank, is this. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. That's what it's saying. Don't forget what God has done in your life. Don't forget that God has blessed you. Don't forget for the times when you were on your knees crying out that God would provide you and somebody put some money through the letterbox for you. Don't forget those times when you were really struggling in a relationship or in a friendship and you cried out to God and, oh, yes, something came through. I can't remember the situation. Is Manuela, are you in here? You were telling me today, weren't you, about venues and stuff like that during the week. And Manuela, I'll tell you, but Manuela was saying, if I get it wrong, I'm just making it up to sound good. Manuela was saying that, you know, she was getting fed up with like the lack of progress in buildings and getting venues for different things. And she is very, very gifted at doing that. And then you got a little bit annoyed, didn't you, if I remember, that's correct, isn't it? And you, oh God, why aren't you doing it, this thing? And then actually something came through. And the Arts Depot, they said yes. And you know, sometimes we have to remember those moments of victory when we were honest and we cried out to God and we said, God, do something. And God provided. Let us hold on to the progress that we have already obtained. Philippians 4 in the next chapter says this, be anxious for nothing, but with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let's be very thankful. The sixth thing, if you want to be stay spiritually fit is this. Get yourself a coach. Did anybody ever feel that the Apostle Paul has a bit of an ego problem? He is a bit, isn't he? I mean, he's very nice. I wouldn't say it to his face, obviously, but he does think quite a lot of himself. This is what it says in verse 17. Brothers and sisters, be like me. Join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. And you know, he just comes across a bit arrogant, doesn't it? You know, if I was to come up here and say, look, Trinity Church, you know, I love you. You're all doing very, very well. Well done. But I really feel what you should be doing is studying me. Studying how I operate. Study the grace with which I deal with all circumstances. I mean, it wouldn't be quite so funny unless David, who works with me, is laughing the loudest. But and I only said it because Jill's doing kids' work, okay? But it's a bit bad. It's a bit rich coming from Paul and saying this. And you think, what on earth is he saying? And actually, if you look back in these passages, what Paul is very, very clear is saying, look, my life is not sorted. My life is not sorted. I am not the perfect person. And he says it absolutely explicitly. I am not perfect. But what he is saying is this. I am passionate about pursuing Jesus Christ. Amen. And follow my heart. Follow my desire to know Jesus more and more and more. And you know, I just felt, so if you, you know, if you are, if anybody ever looks to you for any advice, if you're a leader, if you lead people at work, if you want to grow into leadership, if you're a parent, if there's any time when people will look to you, you will know that you will make mistakes, that you will offend people, that you'll get it wrong, that you will hurt people, people will disagree with you. And as leaders, you know, you don't want to make an art of doing that. You don't want to make an art of winding people up and saying the wrong thing. But the reality is it will happen. You just need to know that if you have any form of leadership, in any form, in your home, at work, in a church, that you will offend people and make mistakes and wind people up. And people will frustrate you and betray you and hurt you. And so it then becomes very difficult to say, okay, do what I do. But what Paul is saying here is this, follow my heart. Follow my heart because I love Jesus Christ. And if you're a leader, the most important thing is this: know that you'll make mistakes, but have a heart that people can follow. You are not a perfect leader. You are not a perfect person. But just have a heart where people can say, okay, he is not very good in some of those areas, but he is passionate about Jesus Christ. And he will do anything, and she will do anything to see Jesus reign in their lives. And I think everything else is secondary as a leader. Everything else is secondary. But can people see my heart? So actually, I want to say to you, we were joking about it, but I want to say in all sincerity, copy my heart. Because I'd so want to see Jesus reign in every area of my life. Do I do it well? No, I don't. But I am passionate to see the King of Glory reigning across Barnet. I'm passionate to see all the empty seats that are there filled with people like you and I that are passionate for Jesus. That is what I want to say to you, now copy that heart. Copy that heart to see Jesus reign. I think the other thing is when Paul says that, you know, copy me, it is interesting to ask, who do you allow to influence your life? Who are the people that are really shaping you? And actually, I think I want to have many, many friends and dear friends that do not know Jesus. But I want to play my part in shaping them and not allow some of their value. I want their friendship to affect me. I want their love to affect me. But actually, I don't want their ungodly, unbelieving values to shape me. I want to shape them. I want to be an example for them. The last thing to do is this. If you want to stay spiritually fit, we all talk about gym membership. Everyone joins a gym occasionally and then terminates their membership after they've never been. But you know that your membership of heaven can never be revoked. It can never be turned down. There is never a time when you can say, actually, no, or God would say, actually, no, I don't want that person here. But what it says here, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he himself, even to subject all things to himself. And I think sometimes it's really helpful for me to remind myself that heaven is real. Heaven is very good, and it lasts a very long time. And I am secure there. And if you do not know Jesus, you need to know this, that hell is real. And hell is very nasty. And hell lasts a very long time. But Jesus Christ gives us this opportunity to be secure in him. And this is what this passage is talking about. If we want to be spiritually fit and healthy and vibrant and strong, I need to know this, that I am secure in my Father's arms. No matter what happens in this world, I am secure. 7 ways to stay spiritually fit. What I'm going to do now is we're just going to pray. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I think there'll be a few. I'm just going to pray. I won't ask you down to the front for ministry. And the kids are going to come back in a minute. They'll come charging in. And we've learnt we have to be over by then because it's not very easy after that. So can I just ask you to stand right now? Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and minister to us right now. We invite you to come and be at work in our lives in power. And we say to you now, O Lord, we recognize that we're not perfect, but we say, help us to press on in you. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking, would you come and strengthen our souls in you? Would we know the power of the risen Lord Jesus to come and course through us? That we would be determined and intentional and purposeful in pressing on in you. And Lord Jesus, we come now and we want to lay past failures and past successes at the foot of the cross. We say that we will not be determined by those things,
But Holy Spirit, we want to be determined by your power coming and coursing through our souls. We want to be determined by your promises over us for our future. And so just for a moment, maybe as the band could just play quietly in the background, I think there's a moment for you to just to take some of those issues that you are aware of, successes that you have felt actually you're relying on those things, or failures that you are relying on those things to say God could never use you. Come and take those things and put them at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, turn my gaze to my future in you. Just take a moment and then I'll finish praying for us. Father, thank you. Yeah. Lord, it's your promises over us that we love. And we say, come and fill us with your Holy Spirit, we ask. And if this morning you have never intentionally crossed the line of faith, that you have never intentionally said, okay, this is it. Here we go. I am now going to cross that line when I say, I am trusting in you, Jesus. I'm trusting that when you died on the cross, you took my sin and my shame and my guilt and you dealt with it. And 3 days later, you came back from the dead. You rose out of the grave for me. If you have never made that step, I'm asking you this morning to place your hope in Jesus Christ, to put your trust in him. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, for those who are near that line of faith but have never crossed it, I pray now, would you call them to yourself? With cords of love, with calls of love, I pray. Call them to yourself. Draw them to you, I pray. That even today can be a day where new birth happens, where somebody comes spiritually alive. Father, thank you.